Word up, word of mouth Wednesday. We have our first guest here on the show joining us in the studio today. On the word of mouth Wednesday, we have a candidate for mayor, Daniel Walker, who is also a reverend with the Church of the Universe. And we're going to also be speaking with Davin of the Toronto Hash Mob, who's also in the studio today. And so I'd like to welcome to the Word of Mouth Wednesday today both Daniel and Davin. Hey, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, yeah, thanks for being on the show today. And I guess first off, I would just want to find out, you know, what is the latest with political prisoner Mark Emery?
Well, September 10th, Mark was finally sentenced. He's been sitting in a Seattle prison in SeaTac for quite some time now. And on September 10th, he has been sentenced to 5 years in prison. So Mark will be continuing to sit in Seattle until about sometime in October. At that point, he will be relocated to the prison where he'll be serving his time. Where that will be, not even he's sure yet at this point. But in October, they will be transferring him, and it'll be a few months, I guess, at that point until we'll be hearing from him again, because it'll take some time for him to, you know, get positioned and finally in the final place where he will be staying. So nobody knows yet what's going to happen with Mark, but at this point he's been sentenced to 5 years, and we need people to contact our public safety minister, Vic Taves, and you know, petition that guy to get Mark back home to Canada.
For real. And, you know, we've talked about Mark Emery's situation on the show before in the past, but I guess just in case there's some people out there listening wondering what we're talking about, what was Mark Emery, like, what were these charges based on?
Well, back in 2005, of course, Mark Emery and two of his associates, Greg Williams and Michelle Rainey, were arrested and threatened with life in prison, in a United States prison, for selling seeds from 1994 to about 2005. And in that time, Mark Emery, he raised millions of dollars, paid millions of dollars in taxes, and in a 10-year span gave over $4 million to different political initiatives and different activist groups all around the world, including the United States, Israel, Canada, and, you know, pretty much everywhere around the world that you can think of that had any kind of cannabis activism. Mark Emery's inspired that and contributed to that financially, and that's why he was such a hindrance to the American government and why they finally attacked him in 2005 with a raid and threatening him with life in prison for selling seeds, no selling of pot or any other drugs, just strictly plant seeds. But they were fearful of his worldwide revolution that he was leading.
For real. And I guess with this, we got a worldwide rally that's coming up on the weekend, on Saturday, near the U.S. consulate. I guess I assume that you're encouraging people to make an appearance at this.
Yeah, we encourage everybody to show up at the U.S. consulate. The Toronto Hash Mob and all the Free Mark supporters will be there en masse, you know, encouraging everybody to, again, you know, contact Vic Taves, our public safety minister, and make sure that Mark Emery comes home and serves his prison sentence in a Canadian prison. Nobody belongs in prison, but he belongs here in Canada with us, regardless of whether he's in prison or free. And we need to make sure Mark comes home to us. And if he does come home to us, hopefully we can have him out of jail as soon as December 2011.
For real. Yeah, so that's this Saturday near the U.S. consulate is a rally, a worldwide rally to free Mark Emery. But, you know, going just in this cannabis culture, we're seeing a lot of, you know, legal stuff going on. I guess, do you guys have any words on what we've been seeing in terms of legal stuff in Toronto? For instance, the compassion clubs that have been raided. What's been going on with in terms of medical marijuana and the compassion clubs?
Well, I mean, the clubs are still being raided. We've seen two raids on Calm Cannabis's Living Medicine. And for whatever reason, police in this city are continuing to harass medical patients, which is one of the reasons why my friend Dan here is running for mayor and to try to change all of that.
Yes, I'm tired of the cops harassing people constantly for marijuana, especially medical marijuana. They just, I get stopped. They say that people are dealing in your area, so they stop you and they check you. It doesn't matter. You don't have no rights. Eventually, they take your weed, and the judges end up throwing it out. It just costs us taxpayers so much money. And
it's
it
so
just
true. Even people who have cards and have letters from their doctor are still being harassed by police in this city. And we see that with raids on compassion clubs. And we need more people active and out there, especially politically, like Dan, out there and bring these issues up in a political format.
And how like would you say that you're certain that you know marijuana is a medical a medical substance? Would you say, are you certain that it's a medicinal thing? Or?
Well, I'm legal and exempt federally. I suffer from fibromyalgia. My doctor has signed me up now for medicinal cannabis. But even before that, I didn't necessarily agree with the federal medicinal marijuana program we have here. I don't see that marijuana is medicine in my hands and then just a recreational substance in yours. I think it's therapeutic for everyone, just like eating an orange for vitamin C to fight a cold. You're smoking marijuana to prevent many different ailments. You know, Mark Emery always gives a speech saying that people who smoke weed every day, even three tokes, before the age of 52, if they smoke cannabis every single day, they will never get Alzheimer's. But if you don't smoke and you get Alzheimer's and you start smoking cannabis, well, then it's kind of too late. So cannabis can also be preventative medicine. And, I mean, anybody that wants to argue that can go Google it and look it up. But, I mean, it also medicinally, as you were asking before, it helps fight cancer and the nausea of that, AIDS, epilepsy, MS, so many illnesses that it helps people survive and continue to live and thrive. So there's definitely medicinal properties. There's definitely therapeutic value. And our government shouldn't be saying no to anybody who thinks that it's good for them and helps them in any sort of way.
Right. Just to ask Daniel Walker a question, because you're a candidate for mayor, I was wondering, you know, what looking with what we've been talking about with marijuana, is there any policies, I guess, that you'd be bringing to City Hall? Do you have any platforms on these issues?
Well, myself, I'm a Compassion Club user myself, so I want to do anything I can to bring marijuana legalized in all of Canada if I can. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think there's a lot more wrong with alcohol. There's nobody that dies from marijuana. There's people that die from everything else, including sports. More people die from sports than ever is going to ever die from marijuana. So I think there's no reason why it shouldn't be. I think it's just the government that's causing the problems and the police.
Right, and speaking of the government, you know, we've got there's a number of candidates for mayor, but you know, the guy that they're saying is the leading candidate. There was recently a scandal that involved that came out that this candidate Rob Ford had been found with possession charge, and it was also when he had been pulled over for a DUI, I think. Did this scandal surprise you at all that we got the top candidate for mayor was caught?
Who doesn't have a possession charge these days? I have three in the last 3 years myself, and Dan here with the Church of the Universe. I'm sure he's got a couple as well.
Yeah, I was busted. Like, I've been busted, I think 14 was my first time. And it just constantly, most of the time I don't get busted. But if other people plead guilty, they'll throw something out. They probably throw his marijuana charge out because he pleaded guilty on the no breathalyzer. And I've also been hit by a drunk driver at the age of about 4 or 5.
We should be more concerned about his drinking and driving charges and less concerned about a joint that they found in his wallet, because that would probably help him a little more than the alcohol was. But we should be not so concerned about a mayoral candidate's pot possession and more concerned about the type of job they'll do running the city and make sure my roads are plowed in the wintertime.
For real, and have you guys heard any of the other candidates for City Halls with these issues? Is there any other candidates that are talking about legalization of marijuana? Or
I've just heard of one that he mentioned it at the worldwide rally, but that's about all I've heard of. I can't remember his name.
Okay, yeah. So I guess there wouldn't be that many candidates. That's why if there's anybody out there listening that's into these kind of topics, you're going to have to look out for Daniel Walker for mayor. Coming up October 25th, I believe, is the election. And then I think there was something going on in November. You mentioned before we got into the interview, you mentioned that the Church of the Universe, that there was some legal, that there's a legal decision being made in November.
November 29th, we get our final decision on our constitutional challenge.
And what is this constitutional challenge that we have, the Church of the Universe? What kind of challenge is going on here?
Well, it's for our sacrament is marijuana, so we use it in our everyday lives and worships, and this is what we fought for, and this is what we're going to get our decision on November 29th.
Basically, everybody has their spiritual right to the use of marijuana as their sacrament, and hopefully the church, through this court decision, will make that possible for everyone in Canada who feels that it benefits them spiritually, and you know they'll have that right, and that's a big step. Nobody else has tackled it on that issue before.
For real, for real. And with what we've been seeing with this Free Mark Emery campaign, which I'd hope is getting bigger, especially since we're seeing getting more info and because it seems like Mark Emery's in the belly of the beast in the behind bars. Davin, have you been in contact at all with Mark Emery?
I haven't been in personal contact with Mark. There's been emails back and forth, of course, different members, employees of Mark, Jody, of course. But, you know, they're urging us, of course, to do everything we can to get Mark back in Canada. Of course, we're doing the rally this Saturday at the U.S. Consulate, 360 University Avenue. We're urging everybody to write and call the public safety minister, Vic Taves, and urge him to get this Canadian citizen back to Canada, regardless of what you think about Mark as a person, because there's a lot of people who love him and there's a lot of people who hate him, but no Canadian citizen deserves to be sitting in an American prison for seeds, not even any drugs, but seeds. So we need to get Vic Taves to send Mark home. Go to whyprohibition.ca or cannabisculture.com or hashmob.ca and figure out what you can do to bring Mark home. There's constantly stories and news updates there on what people can do, what ordinary citizens can do to bring this Canadian citizen back home where he belongs.
Nice. And Davin, I know that you've been You've been doing some work or activism with the Toronto Hash Mob. What is the Toronto Hash Mob?
Toronto Hash Mob actually started about 7-8 years ago now, back in Hamilton with Chris Goodwin's Up and Smoke Cafe. And after over 300 police visits there and 35 arrests, including myself and Chris, we ended up closing down and packing up and moving our antics here to Toronto. And about 5 years back now, we celebrated the first Hash Mob 420 celebration at Dundas Square, which had never been done here in the city before. We had lots of businesses operating in Toronto, but we had no real activism going on in Toronto as far as a hardcore in-your-face open civil disobedience. So when Chris and I moved to this city, a lot of that changed, and for the last 5 years we've had pot rallies at Dundas Square, we've had Free Mark rallies at the U.S. Consulate, and all kinds of other shenanigans that the Hash Mob likes to enjoy.
Nice. And what would you say is the big, have you seen like some big events this past year? What would you say is the biggest event in terms of Toronto and the marijuana movement?
Well, the G20 was a big debacle this year. While everybody else was going around smashing windows in the city with the Black Bloc, the Hash Mob was down at Dundas Square, and I assisted the Free Mark campaign in giving out over 1,000 joints and about £5 worth of cannabis donated from some friends out in BC, I guess. But the Ganja Claws arrived that day, and we gave away £5 of weed while there was a full-scale riot going on in the city. And the Hash Mob overtook Yonge Street, and we did a march up from the Dundas Square to Queen's Park without any police escort while this riot was going on. And the one cop that did kind of pull up and throw the cherries on asked us really quickly, why don't you have any police with you? And Chris, who was driving our truck at the time, responded, "That's a good question. We were wondering the same thing." But Integrated Security Council told Toronto Police that weekend that the potheads were hands-off, that they had their assurances from us that we weren't going to cause any problems in this city, that we were going to smoke lots of weed, keep the protesters calm, and have a good time, unlike the Black Bloc, who put their masks on, didn't want to show their identities, and decided to smash our city.
Wow! That seems like something. It seems a bit surprising here that we're talking about 19,000 police officers in Toronto, and then I guess there's probably a few thousand people in this 420 G420 event rally going on during the G20 protest, but you're saying that the police were allowing the marijuana activism to take place?
They were strictly instructed by Integrated Security Council responsible for the G20 that weekend that we were hands off. We overtook the square, and security from Dundas Square did try to prevent us from moving our trucks and speakers up onto the square. And Integrated Security Council was there within 2 minutes of them arguing with our organizers, and they were told that we were hands off, and we had a great afternoon from then on there, and no police problems whatsoever.
Wow, and Daniel Walker, I know I've checked your Facebook page. You got Dan for Mayor on Facebook, and I noticed that you had G20 written on there as one of your issues here. What are you thinking about the G20?
I think we should have a G20 full inquiry. Chief Bill Blair's resignation. The last thing we've heard now is he said that he didn't hear that it was happening, the kettling on Queen and Spadina, and he said once he heard it, he had it stopped. So why doesn't he know what his own police are doing? And if he doesn't know what they're doing, he shouldn't even be there. Also involved with this long gun registration, and we should just cancel that. That's just a waste of our money anyways, because the guns that are problems are coming from the states, and they should do the policing on the borders and not inner city like this.
Yeah, I actually got stuck in that kettling, the one at Queen and Spadina, on the Sunday night. It was, you know, definitely a rainy situation. But, you know, it was even rainy on the Saturday as well, during the day. All this, you know, black thing happened, and then it seemed like later on the Saturday night, it seemed like there was a crackdown, which I guess was probably later on after this whole G420 weed distribution had gone on.
But yeah, it was right after 420, all the bad incidents happened after we were done.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what I was wondering though. During these bad incidents, like was there any action involving the hash mob or anything? Were any hash mob people arrested, or were the cops hands off on the?
There were no hash mob detainees during the G20 weekend. G420 for us was a rousing success, and no, there was no problems for us. A few of our friends who were at other protests other than ours, they did get caught up in some of the incidents, but as far as the hardcore hash mob members, we all stayed out of jail that weekend for once.
Right. And hold on a second here. We've just got a caller here, so maybe I'll just take this take this caller on the air just to see if we got anybody. Hello, this is CKLN Radio. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up?
Hi. Were you calling in to the Word of Mouth Wednesday?
No, I'm calling in to find out what CKLN website is.
It's CKLN.fm is the website. CKLN.fm. All right, thanks. And that was a caller there just wondering what the website was. I'm not sure.
Hey, they got to know where to find you.
Yeah. Well, what about you guys?
Speaking
you guys
of websites, yeah, we got torontohashmob.ca. We got another one we've been working on, 420wrestling.com, which is all bong hits and body slams all the time. That's another hash mob project. We got a Facebook group here for Reverend Dan Walker at email danformayor@hotmail.ca. So if you're interested in Dan for Mayor, you can contact him there and join Dan for Mayor on Facebook. We also want people, anybody who wants to help Mark Emery, of course, go to cannabisculture.com or go to whyprohibition.ca.
For real. And the big event is taking place this Saturday. It's a worldwide rally to free Mark Emery, at the bare minimum, at least bring him back to Canada.
Bring him home.
Bring him home. I guess it's going to be near the U.S. consulate, because I guess that's a fitting spot because he's in a U.S. jail.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you say near the U.S. consulate, because those Americans there, they hate it when the hash mob shows up. We've been known 5 years ago with Mark present. We took over the actual property of the consulate. Since then, it's been a little more difficult, and they moved us back. And last time, we took over the center median, but they brought out the paddy wagon for us and threatened us. But Chris Goodwin was able to debate with the police long enough where they just got blue in the face and says, "I'm frustrated with this activist guy. I want to go home." So Chris is good at that. So we successfully took over the center median the last time, but this time we got a big sound system. There's going to be a DJ. There's going to be lots of fun. There's probably going to be lots of hemp goodies given away. There's going to be lots of weed weed and joints being smoked, probably people bringing their bongs, and there's always a big party. It's never a protest with the hash mob. We're always out in celebration, even when it's a protest. We're always celebrating and smiling and having a good time. So everybody come out to the U.S. Consulate, 360 University Avenue, and celebrate bringing Mark Emery home, and let's celebrate some freedom, a little freedom that one of our good friends doesn't have at the moment.
For real, for real. And yeah, thanks, Davin. And Daniel Walker, do you have any last words on the campaign?
Just free Mark Emery.
Yeah, all right. And yeah, so that was, we just heard there from Davin from the Toronto Hash Mob, as well as Daniel Walker, candidate for mayor of the city of Toronto. And we'll be back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Just first thing I'll do, just take a break here. I think I'm just going to play a track here. This track is a track from the event that took place last summer, actually. It was a farewell tour, Mark Emery farewell tour of, farewell tour in at Vapor Central, actually, on Yonge Street. Here's just a quick clip here of the man himself, Mark Emery, and we'll be back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Word up.
Time there's nothing we do more intellectually or leisurely than play music, and every single goddamn form of music that's any damn good was brought to us by pot inspiration. So what is it? Greatest writer in the modern in the English language for 500, William Shakespeare smokes pot. Greatest musicians ever brought under a recorded disc smoke pot. All the greatest athletes in the world smoke pot. Overachievers like Moses Neimer and Ted Turner, even Carl Sagan, developed every last one of his 7 accepted scientific theories after smoking a Big Bomber, walking into the shower, turning on the hot water, steaming it all up, and writing all his formulas on the glass windows of his shower. That's how he developed every one of his shows, and that's how he thought of the TV series and book Cosmos, which is probably the greatest, you know, science show of the entire 1980s and 90s. Oh, pothead. Carl Sagan. And so on it goes. You know, and Jesus, by the way, I was going to get to him last, but Jesus wore cannabis, okay? So not only is William Shakespeare a pothead, but Jesus was a pothead too.